Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome to Soul to Soul right here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Ari Keevan. And as we are getting ready and closer to Pesach, just around the corner, I thought we would talk a little bit today about the Haggadah and its significance and its importance. And one of the ideas that I wanted to talk about is that we all have a responsibility to one another, both materially and spiritually, to care for each other, regardless of your personal religious stature. You are able and obligated to teach another Jew. We are obligated and able to help each other out, which is why here at Chabad Seniors Program, we are distributing matzah and food parcels and all types of wonderful things to so many seniors in our community who are in need. And you could be part of this. You could support it financially. You could become a volunteer to get involved if you know as a senior who could benefit from our food parcels, from matzah, from whatever we are able to assist with. Put them in touch with us. And spiritually speaking, we have classes every single day. And we also offer a great Pesach retreat program, which you can find more information at PesachSouthAfrica.com, where by joining and participating in the program, you will be supporting the year-round activities and events that we are offering for the seniors in our community. And today here on Soul to Soul, I wanted to talk a little bit about the night of the Seder and the format of the Haggadah, of how it's done. And we look at the Haggadah itself. It's a text that's used to fulfill our biblical obligation that we have to retell the story of our Exodus every single year on Pesach. And when you look at the Haggadah, it's structured so as to tell the story as an answer to the questions of the children, as the verse says, "V'higadat alevincha," you should tell it to your children. But how? What's the best format? Just notice the style, the way I somehow or other have picked up in my teaching style is to ask questions, which gets the mind thinking. And then we are able to answer those questions because our mind is piqued with curiosity. And specifically, the Torah refers to the children and the four sons in particular. Each one asks about Pesach in their own way, in their own style, and we are to answer each one according to their specific level. And when we think about it this way, the theme in which we can learn about the concepts, the components of the Pesach Seder, the meaning that they infuse into our Pesach and into our lives throughout the year, the Pesach should not just be something that's a one-time event. It's not just his story that is being reenacted on this day, but it's our story. And because the Haggadah is a response to the questions of the children or the child within each of us, we need to be piquing their curiosity. We need to pique our own curiosity already at the beginning of the Seder. And there are therefore a series of different things that we do, unusual practices that are conducted at our Seder that are designed to get the participants, the children, the child within each of us curious to ask questions. And today I want to talk specifically about two particular ones. Karpas, where we dip a vegetable into salt water, and the pouring of the second cup of wine that we do before we recite the Haggadah. These are two modifications of otherwise unusual behavior that's not something we do on a usual Shabbos meal. And there are other customs, actually, that come to mind, giving nuts out that people do before the Seder. It's an old custom that I used to do. My family used to do. I'm sounding like an old man today, but that's something I grew up with. And another thing we do is remove the matzah. We uncover it during the Seder while we are reciting the Haggadah. Again, these are things that are unique to the Seder, and we want to try to, if time permitting, uncover, unpack, and understand what this is about, because there must be something to these age-old Jewish customs that are done at the Seder in many homes. And let's learn, let's understand, let's unpack the message that this is about: teaching, inspiring, thinking out of the box, doing things that we are able to inspire one another. And as we all know, Jewish people are responsible for one another, as we discussed, materially, but not only materially, spiritually speaking. Here we learn at the Seder that this obligation extends to our spiritual welfare of how we have to relate to another. And the Pesach Seder reflects this responsibility that we all have of not just sharing the story of our Exodus, but beyond that. So as we get ready for Pesach, to think beyond just Pesach, we learn from these out of the ordinary Seder practices how important it is for us to do things at the Seder, to invite people to the Seder. And we know that there are the four children that are present at the Seder who ask the questions, but the Rebbe always emphasized that there's a fifth child, the one who's not even present. And now, my friends, now is the time to try to reach out to somebody who we know might not have a Seder to be at. Whether you're going to invite them to your own home for the Pesach Seder, or to invite them to tell them to come to the Pesach retreat, where they could have a deluxe, luxurious, upscale Pesach experience, whatever way it might be. The idea is, let's get the Jews who are not excited about Pesach involved. And that's why the Pesach Seder itself is all about keeping it interesting for everybody else. And this is what we're going to do. Pesach night's around the corner. And Jews all over the world are going to gather at our beautiful laden Seder tables. And we're going to retell the ancient story of the Exodus. And we're not just going to sit down and read the story of the Exodus from a Chumash, from a Torah. We're going to retell it the way we know it. We're going to read our Haggadahs. There's so many different versions. I personally have a few hundred versions of the Haggadah. It's probably one of the most published, widely published books with so many different. One day I'll publish my own just based on the variety of Haggadahs that I look at and sharing the various insights that I've personally found relevant and pertinent and personally practical. So we'll call it the pragmatic Haggadah. Everyone's got their Haggadah. There's so many different kinds, from Sephardic and Ashkenazic and Hasidic and Litvish and Yeshivish, and more observant and less observant, and modern and ancient. Jews of all stripes and persuasions celebrate Pesach, and Jews of all perspectives and ideas have ways of seeing and understanding the story. And what's so beautiful about it is not just his story, it is about making it our story, my own personal story. In fact, in Hebrew, there's no word for history. The word might be zikaron, which is better translated as memory, which again has the letters M-E. How's this relevant to me or my story? What has it got to do with me? And this is so important as we go into the Haggadah, because the Pesach Seder is about this multi-generational experience where we interact with one another at the Seder. And that's why we have the question answer format. And this comes from the Torah itself, where the Torah tells us, V'higadata levincha bayom ahu, you should tell the story to your child in that day. And this idea that you should tell the story to your child expresses an important obligation. In fact, it's obviously clearly one of the 613 commandments of the Torah to retell the story of our Exodus each year. In fact, every day we recall our Exodus from Egypt, because Egypt is not just the ancient land or contemporary land in the Middle East still. I mean, it's not just the geographic location in the Middle East. The point is that it is a state of mind, and it's that slave mentality. The word Mitzrayim related to Mitzrayim, I mean constraints, limitations, difficulties, challenges, struggles that we might have, and how we could emancipate ourselves, how we could experience that liberation. So when the Torah says V'higadata, you should tell the story, that's very much related to the word Haggadah, the book, right? Haggadah is the noun of the same Hebrew root. That is the book we use to tell the story, right? Why do we use the Haggadah on Pesach night? To say the right words. Okay, my puns don't get better than that. But the point is, the Haggadah is the instrument that is used for centuries to fulfill our obligation of passing down from generation to generation this story of the Exodus, as we know is our obligation, and it's discussed in the Talmud and Halacha. And this is the way we Jews do it. Now, of course, the goal of Haggadah is retelling the story, but it goes about telling it in this very specific way that we discussed. And just about any Haggadah, no matter in what land or by whom it was printed, follows this same format, the 15 steps. And rather than just telling the story of the Exodus straight out, the Haggadah makes its case in the form of answering questions. First come the questions of the children, followed by the Exodus story, which serves as the answer to those questions. At the beginning of the Seder, the children, or again, if you don't have children present, then you be the child. There's a child within each. You be the child. Ask a question. Ask those questions. Ask the question of Almighty God. Manishtana. Why is this night different from all other nights? Night, while literally speaking, we're talking about the Seder night, recalling the story of our ancestor slavery in Egypt. But night could also be a reference to this long, bitter exile that we're going through, so many difficulties and hardships, as we all know. And as we continue reading the Haggadah, we find that there's the Haggadah is not just here to answer the one single question of a single child. The Torah understands that different children, each one of us, has different perceptions and different different scholastic needs, different ways of seeing things. There's andragogy of the way we relate to adults and pedagogy of the way we relate to children. And we're obligated to speak to each one according to their style, to their ability, so that every member of future generations leaves the Seder with an appreciation, a way of understanding the Pesach story as not his story, but our story, as a personal story. And as we recite in the Haggadah, the Torah itself offers different ways of conveying the Seder message to the different kinds of learners, to the four sons present at the Seder, and of course to the four types of personalities within each of ourselves. Maybe that's why we always ask for group discounts, because of our split personalities. And they're, you know, depending on the day, depending on our mood, depending on the moment, we all have within us the clever, the inquisitive part of ourselves, and maybe that little bit mischievous, the wicked child within us. Sometimes we're just disinterested. Sometimes there's just an apathy. Sometimes there's an ignorance. Sometimes we're not present. We're even like the fifth child. And therefore, the Haggadah says, V'higadata levincha, that you should speak to your child. The Haggadah tells us, what do we say in the Seder itself about the four children that the Torah speaks? Speak to them, talk to them, right? Take a moment that we speak to the child within us, to the mode, to the perspective, to the way we are at that moment. And therefore, in the Haggadah we say, the Torah speaks keneged arba banim, four children. And let's take a moment to take a close look and see where indeed the Torah speaks to these four children. Where do we see four children in the Torah? Now, if you looked in the footnotes of your Haggadah, or, you know, the Haggadah sources, you'll notice that the source for the three of the four sons actually can be found in the Torah, in the book of Exodus, in fact, specifically in the Parsha of Bo, where there, I want to look at each of the children. So, for example, the first one comes to mind, the wicked son, the wicked child. What does the verse say? When it will come to pass, if your children say to you, what is the service to you? And Rashi there, it is the foremost commentator, he says, what does it mean that it will come to pass if your child says to you, what is the service to you? Rashi says, this verse refers to, that's the wicked child. Again, we all have that mischievous aspect inside ourselves. But Rashi there like qualifies, what does it mean, the mischievous child? This is the child that, as we'll talk about in the Haggadah, the one who excludes himself from the community, says, this happened to you. So the wicked son is essentially started off on a combative note. He's fighting, he's saying, this is not relevant to me. What is the service to you? As though this whole Pesach thing has no relevance to him. It's almost as though he's mocking his parents for hanging on to those old, ancient, outdated stories. Well, he hasn't been listening to the news, watching what's going on in the world, and sees that the story keeps on playing itself out throughout history. And therefore, he earns himself this moniker, the wicked child. Okay, what about the simple one? The verse says, when your child will ask you, what is this? And the Torah says, Amarta, I love you, you're going to say to him, that with a mighty hand did Hashem take us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And there Rashi explains that this verse is talking about the simple child. And Rashi there says, Zet tinak tipish. When this child asks, what is this about? Rashi says, this is the simple child who does not know how to pose his question in depth. And therefore he's asking a general question. Mazot, what is this? And then you have the child that doesn't know how to ask any questions, right? This one comes from the last verse that the Torah says, the one from which we learn the whole obligation of telling the story, V'higadata, right? The verse says, we call the book Haggadah, because the verse says, V'higadata levincha bayamahu, you should tell it to your child on that day, Bavur ze asal Hashem libitzeisim mitzrayim, because of this, Hashem did for me when I went out of Egypt. And there Rashi explains, what does it mean? You should tell it to your child. Rashi says this refers to the ben she'ene yadei lishol, to the child who does not know how to ask. And therefore, the pasuk is teaching you, the scripture teaches that you should teach, you should initiate this child and the discourse. You have to open their mouth. You have to pique their curiosity. What about the wise son? Where does he come from? Now, that is not explicitly in Exodus. While the first three sons' questions are in Exodus, the fourth son, or what we come up first in the Haggadah, is actually in Devarim. There the Torah says, Kishal Chabin Chamacha Lemar, when your child will ask you in the future in time to come, saying, they're gonna ask Maha Idus Vahukim Amishpatim Ashativa Hashem Alekane Weshem. All this we're gonna say in the Haggadah soon. What are all these chukim, the testam, the mitzvahs, the edus, the testimony mitzvahs, and the chukim, the statutes, the laws that seemingly have no reason, the irrational laws, and mishpatim, the ordinances, the laws that make sense that Hashem has taught you. And we go on to the verse, and the Rashi explains that, what is this child? So there Rashi explains, this is referring to the wise child who is going to ask you these questions in the future, the one who is involved. And so we see that within the Haggadah, we highlight the mitzvah, the obligation to retell the story of the Exodus every single year on Pesach. And we see how it's structured in this way, that it's done in a question-answer format, which in general is a good idea to get people involved and curious. And specifically, the Torah refers to these four children clearly in the Torah, three in Exodus, fourth one in the book of Devarim, and how we are to answer each question according to their level. In a moment, we'll be back, and I would like to discuss with you some more components of the Pesach Seder itself and the meaning that they infuse into Pesach and into our lives throughout the year, how to make Pesach indeed a most meaningful and uplifting experience, one that we feel not just remembering the past, but living the present and building towards our future.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome back to Soul to Soul, right here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Ari Kiveman, and today we're getting ready for Pesach and exploring the system of the Haggadah and the Seder that we're going to experience and celebrate, please God, very soon. And so before, we talked about the Haggadah's format, how it's answering questions by the children or the child within each of us that is so curious. And actually, we don't just wait, we don't just anticipate the curiosity of the children. Sometimes, in fact, one of the four children is the one that doesn't even know how to ask. So therefore, we are going to do things on Pesach night that are going to pique the curiosity of our children. First, we have to ensure that the questions are asked. And that's why at the beginning of the Seder, even before the Manishtana is asked, we do some things to help the kids notice immediately that indeed, Halayla Hazeh, this night, is different than all other nights. And one such practice is the part of the Seder known as Karpas. And this entails dipping a piece of vegetable. I have to go from the beginning of the Seder. We have Kadesh. First, we're going to say Kiddush. We do that every Shabbos. We always begin our festivals by honoring it in a special way. And this we're going to do with a special Kiddush, and that's the first of our four cups. And then we're going to wash our hands, but say no blessing. We're going to then take a piece of vegetable. Some people take potato or onion or parsley, whatever your family's custom is, and dip it into salt water. Now, it might seem surprising, but the whole point of this practice is for what? Just to pique the curiosity of the children and the child within each of us at our seders. For what reason? Just to get everybody involved. Now, that's already doing something that is different, that's out of the ordinary, that's different than what we're used to. Another custom that we do just so the children were asked, and it's, you know, it's a practice of a lot of people have this custom, I grew up with it myself, is handing out nuts to the children before the Seder begins. This is something, not everybody has this custom, but it's something that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, actually, in the Code of Jewish Law, that it's a mitzvah to distribute roasted seeds and nuts to the children on Pesach night before beginning the Seder, so that the children would ask questions to get them involved. And in fact, there was a nice child rhyme we used to do as kids, that gleich wenn der Tata kommt heim von Shul, immediately when you come up from Shul, we make Kiddush. Don't delay, don't have discussions. The table should already be set and laid and ready. Why? Because we want that the children should be involved, should be engaged, should be awake. So there are various things that people do that we want to keep the children involved. We have the question answer format. It's not a side detail. It is a crucial part of the whole Seder process. So much so that even if the children don't ask questions about Pesach's story on their own, that we're going to do things to prompt them to ask questions. We're going to change things up. It's not going to be a usual evening. We're going to dip a vegetable in salt water. The question, it's going to pique curiosity. The question of the kids is going to wonder, why are we doing this? And the changes we make to get the kids' attention don't necessarily need to be related even to the Pesach story. Like the Shulchan Aruch mentions, giving out nuts, a treat they don't usually get before dinner. Now that's an ancient custom. Maybe today you have something a little bit more modern and you know, everyone's got their cool new modern ideas. I'd love to hear what yours are. And these are just ways, good ways to get the kids asking and to get ourselves in the mode. And once we've got everyone's attention and curiosity involved, now we're ready to get fully engaged in the Seder, beginning with Manishtana, asking these questions about why is this night different from all of the nights, so we could retell the story. We don't forget. Now, these unusual or different practices that we do at the Seder, they're obviously there. The purpose is to arouse the children's curiosity. But if you look closely in the Haggadah, you'll see a note at various times during the Seder to either cover or uncover the matzah. And that's another curious thing. What is this about? What is the purpose behind this? And this is something explained in Shulchan Aruch, that Bimei Chachmei HaGemara, that in the times of the, in the times of the sages of the Talmud, when it was customary for every person partaking of the meal to dine at their own small table. That was an ancient custom that they used to do. Everybody had their own little table. Curious, maybe something you want to do, maybe something we should implement at our Pesach retreats. So the sages mandated to remove from the person reciting the Haggadah, the leader, a small table with a matzah upon it, and to place it on another corner so that the children will see and everyone attending will ask, why are the matzahs being removed if we haven't yet eaten? It's not time to eat. And this will prompt them to also ask the rest of the questions, Manishtana, why is this night different from all other nights? Says the Shulchan Aruch, in later generations, when no longer is the custom to everybody to have their own little tables, when everyone partaking in a meal eats together on one large table and removing the table would be difficult, so it became customary to remove the Seder plate, which holds the matzahs from before the person reciting the Haggadah from the leader, and to place it at the edge of the table as if everyone had already eaten, so that the children will again be engaged and asked. Now, even if you're not going to do exactly that, but the point is you're going to uncover your matzah, which is probably the more prevalent custom today. So imagine being a child in those days and seeing all the food taken away before even getting started. Why are you taking away the matzah? We haven't even eaten yet. Wouldn't that pique your curiosity? So Judaism, ages ago, centuries ago, millennia ago, already realized that in order to teach children, you have to do things in unusual ways that will get them really wondering. Today, obviously, we're not taking away the table, but still, the fact that we uncover the Seder, the matzah cover, we do something that resembles that to get people involved to ask these questions. And there's a lot of other customs. Different communities have different customs. I'll just mention one more that we do that's mentioned in the Haggadah, so that the children will ask what is going on. And that is about why we add the additional cups of wine. And as you know, the first of the four cups, as we discussed, is Kiddush. The second cup is drunk after making the bracha, reciting the whole story of Magid. And then we say a special bracha at the end of Magid about redemption. And that we follow by washing and eating matzah and having the mara, the bitter herbs, and having the korech sandwich and eating the egg, which begins our meal dipped in salt water, and then eating a delectable gastronomic feast. And then you'll have your third cup after benching, and the fourth cup at the end of the Seder. So for the onlooking child, there's nothing different, strange, no anomaly to the first cup. Obviously, we make Kiddush every single Friday night. Presumably, drinking wine during and after a meal also is not different. We do that. These are things we do. People drink wine during a dinner. But that's what's interesting about the second cup. And this is something that in Shulchan Aruch, again, is mentioned, though it's not necessary to hold the second cup of wine until you reach to the final blessing, L'fichach anachnu chayavim, where we say that we are obligated to give thanks and gratitude, express our appreciation to Hashem, but yet we still pour the second cup immediately before the beginning, before we recite the Haggadah. Again, why? So the children will ask, why are we drinking a second cup? We haven't even begun the meal. That's not something we do every day of the year. And again, this is about prompting the children, piquing their curiosity, getting them involved. And this is what the Torah says, "V'higadeta levincha," you should teach your children. How? doing things that are different, that pique your curiosity, that they're going to ask. And that's what the Torah says. If your child will ask you in the time to come, what are this edus chukim mishpatim, the various laws that you're going to do, and you're going to tell your children, avadim ayinu, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. Remember, we aren't going to drink this cup until making the bracha after reciting Lefichach at the very end of Magid portion of the Haggadah. But we pour it far in advance of that bracha, even before the children ask Mamishtana, which means that cup of wine is going to sit there for quite a while. It's going to sit there, not going to drink it. In some homes, it's going to sit for a very long time. My father had a nice little expression. He would say, yet we still sat for a long time. He would say that, what does it say in the Haggadah? Kalamar b'lesaper b'tzias mitzrayim, harezeh meshubach. What does it mean? Literally, kalamar b'lesaper, whoever increases and tells more of the story is praiseworthy. But he would give it a little spin. Pun, kol hamarbe l'supper, whoever hurries to supper, to Shulchan Aruch, to the festive meal, that's praiseworthy. Yet we still sat for many hours and we expounded on the Haggadah and told stories. So we fulfilled it in both ways. But the point I'm making is that we are spending our time reciting the Haggadah. And it's going to take some time till we drink the second cup. In fact, we're going to do some other enigmatic things as we read about the plagues. We're going to pour the wine out because we're not taking any pleasure in the misfortune and the downfall of our enemies. We just want them not to stop attacking us. And this is all for what reason? This is all to get the children involved, that it is something we want them to ask questions, to be curious. And we're going to spend time during that Haggadah, during the Seder, during that step of Magid, where we're going to ask questions and at great length give answers peppered with many interesting explanations and discussions and tell stories and maybe some good jokes. What's the point of having the cup sit there? It's all so the children will ask. So we do so many different things. We have so many unique practices at the Seder, which are designed as a departure from normal dining practice that you might be doing throughout the rest of the year. For what reason? So the child will ask questions. So the child within us will be curious. And some of the points that we mentioned, whether it is giving out nuts, as some people have a custom, which is even mentioned in the code of the Jewish law, or karpas, of dipping the vegetable in salt water, removing the matzah and covering it as we do today, or pouring the second cup long before the meal, and some of the other things that people do. And there's an important lesson I think we could take from all this as a side note about learning in general, that when we don't just present the Pesach story to the children on a silver platter. The point is, it's a very important way of teaching, is getting the curiosity of your student, of the children. And we need to first catch the child's attention, and then they're open to receiving the knowledge that we're about to teach them. And the same is true with andragogy, when we're teaching adults. And this is something that I spend my time more. Once in a while, they'll ask me to teach the kids at school, but usually I'm spending more time teaching senior citizens every day. Or we have our Jewish Learning Institute classes where we, in fact, are invited to a great new course starting right after Pesach. Go to myjli.org.za to sign up. And it's all about keeping people involved. That's why our classes are multifaceted, are multidimensional. We have the texts that everyone gets to participate and follow along with. We have the PowerPoint presentations and videos and engaging questions and people reading texts, so that everyone's involved. The foundation of gaining new insight and new knowledge in life is the curiosity to achieve new and deeper knowledge, understanding, meaning, and this requires a teacher to do whatever it takes to think out of the box and to get people involved and engaged. And this is something that we do at our Seders. And this is something that is not for no reason, it's intentional. Two of the Seder night practices that are changes, and not just these two, but think of, you know, they're modifications to things that are essentially standard dining behavior. And the other two Seder night practices are completely unfamiliar. They're entirely new. I mean, who gives out nuts before a pace, before a meal, right? This is something we don't do throughout the year. It's not like we have a custom to give out raisins all year, and this night we give out nuts. And of course, it's possible that some parents will give their children nuts or sweets sometimes throughout the year. But this may be that they're doing this in order, you know, before sitting down for dinner, but it's not a standard daily or weekly practice. I don't know of other people who do exactly this, but eating vegetables during the meal is very common, right? It's to be expected. But here we're going to dip it in salt water. Again, there's just different things. It's all about getting people involved and curious. And that's karpas. It's not something that's regularly done. Dipping a vegetable into salt water is not something we do every night. Yes, you might dip something into hummus. Eating vegetables is a normal thing to do during dinner, and dipping them is also, you know, you might have a nice dressing that you do. But all that's different here is that usually vegetables are eaten as part of the meal. And here it's the appetizer of the meal. It's just a different order, different placing. And again, we have what else? Removing the matzah, uncovering it. It's something that's unique to the Seder, obviously. Never throughout the year do we just remove the table or the food before eating. Rather, we sit down for a good meal and get right to work. Or pouring that second cup that we mentioned. There's nothing unusual about pouring a cup of wine during a meal. For some people, there's nothing unusual about pouring many cups of wine during the meal. But we don't usually pour a cup and leave it sitting there for an hour. We're going to at least drink something from it. And therefore, my friends, as we see, because the Haggadah is about getting people involved in the Seder night and answering their questions, answering our own questions, the questions of the child within us, within the children present at the table, we try to pique the children's curiosity throughout the Seder night. And that's why we do these various unusual Seder practices in order to get everybody involved. And this is a way of teaching, not just on Pesach, but throughout the year, to try to get everyone involved and to get people interested in learning. And this is something here we try to do at Chabad, and something we're trying to do right here on Soul to Soul, right here on 101.9 Chai FM. We'll be right back after these messages.
Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome back to Soul to Soul, right here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Ari Kiven. It's great to be with you here on this wonderful afternoon as we're getting ready for Pesach and going through the interesting things that we do at our Seder to get everybody's involvement, to have everybody participating. And we do unusual things, as we mentioned here today, to pique the curiosity of everyone present, particularly of the children, of the child within each of us. And the message we could take from this changing up the normal practices at the onset of our Seder is about our mutual responsibility to one another. It's well known that according to Jewish tradition, we are all a family, and we must do everything that we can to take care of one another. That is a Jewish responsibility, and that's why Jewish communities have these robust social and humanitarian infrastructure that we as Jews are known to be so charitable. And it's one of the most the ways that we've managed to survive throughout our storied history. And this is something, you look at our community of all the wonderful organizations. I am so proud to be part of Chabad, the director of Chabad Seniors Programs, which we do so much for the community, from daily programs, from therapies each morning. You should see at Chabad House this morning of all the senior citizens involved in our physiotherapy program, where you have dance classes and yoga and art and beading, and then intellectual classes, spiritual upliftment, and then art and the different outings and activities that we do, and lunches that we provide and refreshments for the seniors that come every single day, and the food parcels that we distribute every Friday, and matzah before Pesach. This is all our responsibility to one another. When you think about our communities, throughout history, Jewish communities have been there for one another. And this is not only in regards to our physical well-being, but spiritually speaking as well. We are there to take care of one another. Don't think that mutual responsibility is only about the physical material welfare that we have to be caring and concerned for one another. Yes, we have to make sure that everyone in the community has the clothing to wear and the food to eat and housing, and thank God to our wonderful organizations. But this responsibility is also relevant to our spiritual well-being. Money, food, and a place to live are absolutely crucial, and thank God for the communities taking care of those. Here at Chabad, we don't just take care of the physical well-being, but we're also concerned for one's spiritual well-being as well, which is why the classes that we offer our senior citizens are not only about their physical well-being and not only about serving lunch, but there's also spiritual upliftment, Torah classes every day about uplifting and making sure that there's a robust sense of Jewish identity and pride. And this is the important time of the year. Now before Pesach is an opportunity for every Jew to connect with our fellow Jews, to inspire them, to influence one another, our family and friends, to tap into, to connect with our rich heritage, to live a healthy, fulfilling spiritual life. This is the time of the year. And the Rebbe would send letters to communities to, you know, from the early time of his leadership already back in 1950, before he even assumed the leadership of Chabad. The Rebbe would send letters before each of the high holidays to communities, and he would say, he would start off the letters El Achenu V'Achiyosenu, to our brothers and sisters, Bnei U'Bnais Yisrael, the sons and daughters of Israel, the Bechol Asar V'Asar, wherever they are in the world. That was the Rebbe's customary way of starting a letter that he would write to communities everywhere where they are. I want to pick up a letter here that he writes to the community in 1950, and he says, "Greetings and blessings. The human being, like all creatures, including the supernal angels, possesses both a body and a soul. Just as there are those who are poor in body and bodily needs, so too are there paupers in spirit and spiritual needs. So the mitzvah of tzedakah includes both physical charity and spiritual charity. In the words of our sages, it is written, if you see a naked person, you should cover them. What is the meaning of this? If you see a person who's naked of the words of Torah, take them into your home. Teach them, read the Shema, daven, pray. Teach them, connect with them. Think about this idea that we have so many beautiful ways of doing so that we could demonstrate and motivate people to be involved in the Yiddishkeit. Invite somebody to a Friday night Shabbos dinner. Invite them to your Seder table and tell them to come to a Pesach retreat program where they could experience it in a luxurious, uplifting, and, you know, the most beautiful way to celebrate. And this is something that, just as we have the obligation of giving charity financially, we also have to give spiritual charity. So yes, there's wonderful organizations. We at Chabad will take your funds and use it both physically and spiritually to uplift Jews. That's the point. We cannot estimate the value of one mitzvah, of one line of Torah study, of one lit Shabbos candle, one arm wearing tefillin. This is the point that Judaism tells us is not just about the physical well-being, but we have a responsibility to be ambassadors and bringing the message of Torah to our fellow Jews. And the Pesach Seder, I would say, is not just about the gastronomic experience, about eating a delicious meal, eating the matzah, drinking the wine, reciting the Haggadah these two nights of the year. Pesach Seder is actually the emblem of the whole of Jewish continuity. In a broad sense, the mitzvah of Egadat Levincha, of telling the story of Pesach that we've been discussing here today, is an all-encompassing call to action, a call to action to every Jew, wherever they might be, whoever they might be. Each and every one of us is responsible to take part in this national, international Jewish mission of telling every single Jew the Pesach story. The Pesach story is the Jewish story. As we say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazet, we are all responsible for one another. And that means we have to provide for the physical and the spiritual needs. Certainly, when we have to look out for others and we could help them, we have to do this in a meaningful way that we could connect our fellow Jews to their treasure, to the heritage, to what it means to be a Jew. And therefore, we have to go out of our way to ensure that every single Jew feels the special merit, what it means to be part of the Jewish people, not just that there are October 7th and people coming and trying to annihilate us. That's been our story throughout our history. There was once a noted author, Herb Brin, who was a famous journalist, and he was the head of one of the famous American publications. And he was at a meeting with the Rebbe, and he paraphrased one of those moments where he asked the Rebbe a question. He says he became the editor of a big Jewish publication. The problem, he said, was that he knows very little about Jewish heritage, and what does he have the right to make sensitive editorial judgments about things he doesn't understand, if he can't read Hebrew properly, if his Jewish education wasn't exactly on par? And the Rebbe's response to him, lovingly and smiling, was, do you have the right to withhold that which you do know? You might ask, but who am I to start teaching about Judaism? I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a Rebbetzin. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an educator. How could I be expected to start spreading the message of Judaism to those around me? Halavai, I could succeed in influencing myself. Well, I'm going to start teaching others. Do you relate to this? And this is what we are learning and doing at our Seder. Because before we start to recite the Haggadah, what do? We do things out of the ordinary. We begin the crucial task of what does it mean, Vigadat Levincha, to tell your children? There must be the things that are out of the box. There must be some changes to the usual order. We have to come up with new tactics, ways to inspire those around us. And in that letter, the Rebbe continues. He says, everything in this world has a lesson for thinking, for the thinking person. It's very easy with the proper effort to find lessons in every single message in Torah and in mitzvahs. And therefore, the Rebbe says here, when we talk about the message of the Exodus from Egypt, which is a tremendous foundation and a strong pillar of our Torah and our faith, it's different from all the other miracles that we're required to remember. We talk about the splitting of the sea every day, right? We're obligated to remember it specifically on Pesach. There are many things we can learn from this, and the Rebbe focuses in that letter on one point, a practical lesson for our lives, not only for the days of Pesach, but this is a lesson that we can take for all year. At the very beginning of the Seder night, as soon as it gets dark, we celebrate the Seder, and we have to hurry to it. And here in South Africa, I think it's much easier than anywhere else in the world. I recall doing a Pesach Seder many years ago in Russia, where it got dark very, very late. Even in New York, where I grew up, it was much later than here. Here, and particularly at a Pesach retreat, we could start our Seders by 6:45. Maybe we'll wait to 7 p.m. for Kiddush, and we're ready. We could spend an hour saying the Haggadah, and then get straight to dinner by 8 o'clock and have a delectable spread that all the different wonderful foods that we eat. And what do we do at the Seder? We do things, we change things up, as we've been discussing here. And this is all about getting everybody involved in the Seder. Just as the Haggadah speaks to the four children and each one in their own unique way, we have to find the right words to talk about God, to talk about Judaism, to talk about the Torah, the mitzvahs, about Israel, to every single Jew. Whether I'm a rabbi, a teacher, an accountant, a doctor, a lawyer, a driver, whatever it is, that doesn't make a difference. We each have a responsibility. Just because I'm not a particularly talented speaker, I'm not an orator, I'm maybe not a good writer or a conversationalist, just because I'm not the most outgoing or persuasive person doesn't mean I have nothing to contribute spiritually to another person. If influencing somebody else spiritually is not my speed, no problem. The Seder teaches that sometimes we change the speed a little for an important cause. Just like we depart from normal practice, we're going to pour a glass of wine long before the meal begins. We're going to eat nuts before the Pesach Seder or whatever you like to do, sweets, different things, give the kids a Seder pack, eat karpas. We sometimes have to depart from our normal routine in order to spread the Jewish message. And this is the point. This is what we do on the Seder night, and this is something we could do a whole year. That we want to influence and inspire those around us, spiritually speaking, well, we might need a slight modification to our usual way of doing things, to our usual behavior. We might need to introduce something completely different. And so this is what we need to do on Pesach, and I think this is something that we could learn to do a whole year. Change up our habits, do things differently. Pesach reminds us that we got to break those habits in our life, that there are ways of changing things up. And therefore, while we might have different types of students, just like you have the four children, there are people who are more studious, and there are people who are not so diligent, and there are others by nature would rather run around and play, look at the kids, whatever the child likes to do. Every child needs to be addressed in their way, in their own unique way, as the Seder, as the Haggadah puts it out to us. We have to deal directly with each child. For some, it may mean working to change their nature. For others, it might mean working to change their habits. In whatever category that child needs our attention, that is what we do on Pesach. And that's why we change up the practices. That's why we have karpas and pouring the second cup and giving out the nuts and the different things that we're going to do. Move the matzah away. All to inspire everybody present. And this is something that we have to do. For some of us, we might not feel it's our speed or whatever it is. I'm not cut out for this. But we have to remember that we have to do our part in inspiring those around us. And so whatever way you're going to go about doing that, this is our message here for this Pesach. Go out there and inspire another Jew. Invite somebody to your Seder table. Remember, there's hostages. What are we going to do to remember them? How are we going to do that? Don't have an empty seat at your Seder. Fill that seat with somebody. A college student once approached the Rebbe in the middle of a Hasidic Farbrengen, and he gave the Rebbe toast to L'chaim. The Rebbe turned and asked him if he was involved with encouraging and helping his fellow students to put on tefillin every day. And the student says, what are you asking me? I myself don't put on tefillin every day. And the Rebbe then asks him, why is that their fault? Think about that. We have to do what we can. By starting with something small, we could affect an entire revolution. So my friends, today, right now, I want you to consider what you could do. Are you going to send a WhatsApp to a friend, give them a short inspiration, tell them how you're inspired, share a glimpse of the beauty of our tradition? In today's day and age, so much is being shared publicly. We have, just imagine the impact today of social media. So many images and videos and memes and all the different things. So many headlines are plastered and shared all over the place. So whether it's a one line or a link to a Jewish story on ChabadSouthAfrica.org or something about the weekly Torah portion or upcoming Jewish, you know, think about whatever it is, events that are happening in the community, a special share. Or do something yourself. Invite somebody over for the Pesach Seder. Do whatever it takes. We are all responsible for one another, as we said, not only materially, but spiritually as well. And this is something at the Pesach Seder reflects that responsibility that we have of sharing the story of our Judaism with everyone. Invite them over to your Seder table. Make sure, whether it's the four children who are present or the fifth child who isn't yet present, now's the time to invite them. Don't wait till after Pesach. I should have invited them. And even if we're not accustomed to or naturally inclined to share the message of Torah with those around us, I'm not religious enough. Well, remember what the Rebbe said to this person. It's not their fault. We learn from the out-of-the-ordinary Seder practices that this is the way Judaism teaches us for millennia to change things up a bit. And we could all find ways to spread the warmth and wisdom of Judaism to those around us in order to make that Yiddish shore, that Yiddishkeit, is something that is meaningful and purposeful for everyone, that they'll be inspired and want to come and be present and participate. So whether you're going to join us at the Pesach retreat or you're going to join us at your own Pesach advance, whatever the case will be, make sure you make it the most meaningful experience, one where you do things that are interesting, whether it is the custom that I mentioned in the Book of Jewish Law that we discussed today, or other customs or interesting things that you do, that your family does, interesting songs you sing, or games you play, or charades you do, or whatever other interesting, fascinating ways you keep everybody involved and engaged at the Pesach Seder, do so. And invite a friend to come be part of it, and do something to advance your Yiddishkeit, no matter where you're holding, to make it the most interesting and engaging experience of the year. Do it now. Think of the people you can invite. Think of the friends who could be present. Think about the relatives. And don't forget, there are lonely senior citizens in our community. You could join us at Chabad Seniors, whether it is by participating financially or volunteering to bring food parcels or getting involved and inspiring others to come to our daily programs. Or joining the Pesach retreat is a way of supporting our year-round activities and programs for the elders in our community. Think about the people who are in hospitals who need those visits that we at Chabad Seniors facilitate. Think about the people who are at old age homes, retirement facilities, where there's no Jewish infrastructure that we go visit and bring and uplift their spirits. Think about how you can make a difference. If you want to get involved in any way, let me know. And my friends, that brings us to the end of today's Soul to Soul here on 101.9 Chai FM. Thanks for joining us. Remember, carpe diem, seize every moment you've got. And remember the past, live the present, trust the future, aspire to inspire before you retire so that you won't expire. Have a great Shabbos. Thanks for joining us.